This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Michael Dowling. Michael's the CEO of Northwell Health, which has seen more COVID-19 patients than anybody else in New York State. He's also one of the great leaders in the country in healthcare. He's universally well-respected. He's someone that Governor Cuomo calls for advice regularly, and you hear Governor Cuomo talk about him in his presentations very often. Mike, it's a pleasure to be with you today, and thank you.
Thank you.
Would you mind taking a moment to introduce yourself and telling us what you're seeing, what's going on in sort of New York and New York City and so forth?
Yeah, this is Mike Dowling. I'm the president and the CEO of Northwell Health. I'm delighted to be on. And let me give you a little update on where we are in New York right now. We are on the downslide. We are on the right side of the curve at the moment. We have plateaued. And for the past 8 or 9 days, we have seen a decrease in the number of cases. Now, the decrease every day is pretty small, and we still have an awful lot of cases, but at least we are decreasing. The numbers of people that are coming in each day is getting less, and the number of people being discharged successfully each day is getting larger. In our health system alone, today we have 2,200 cases. We were at 3,500. So we've had like a, 1,200 reduction in the number of COVID positive patients in our hospital. We still have in our health system alone, we still today have about 750 patients on vents. These are very, very sick patients. But it's being managed well, and I think the New York hospitals did a spectacular job here. And the governor obviously has been great on this, working with us. You know, there's lots of, things that you learn from this experience. But we are we're doing quite well at the moment. It's a lot less strenuous and hectic than it was 10 days ago.
So I'll ask you two follow-up questions to what you said. First is one that's on a lot of people's minds who see Governor Cuomo on TV all the time. Is what's he really like? Is he a straight shooter, a good guy, a thoughtful politician? What are your thoughts on Governor Cuomo, if you don't mind sharing for a moment?
Well, I've known him a long time. I did work for his father for 12 years. I was the head of Health and Human Services for the state of New York when his father was governor. So I have known Andrew for a long time. Andrew is a great guy, very, very, very smart, a very good leader. He is demanding. He is an unbelievably hard worker, just like his father. He takes advice well, but he will question you in a tough way. You better have your answers correct. He gets advice from a lot of different people. He's very careful. He's strong-willed, he's not afraid, he takes accountability, and he helps build trust. He has a lot of integrity. And to him, accountability and getting the job done is very, very, very important. And he has been demonstrating that because he's a very articulate speaker, and he's been demonstrating that in the daily briefings he's been doing, which of course have been carried nationally each and every day. So for me, it's a pleasure to work with him, and we do communicate regularly. But, I've been working with the Cuomo family for a long time, and it's nice to be able to continue doing it.
Fascinating. And another follow-up question. The situation with ventilators seem to be moving in the right direction. How much progress on PPE and test, and how much is that moving in the right direction? It's certainly far better than it was a few weeks ago. What's your sense of where we're at on that? And we know there's a long way to go, but how is that coming along, sort of PPE?
Well, we've been doing pretty well overall. I mean, I remember that we got disrupted quite a bit at the beginning because the whole supply chain was disrupted because a lot of the equipment we always needed and got and had available to us was in China. And of course, when that supply chain got disrupted, it disrupted everything. So there was a lot of hustle trying to figure out where to get a lot of the equipment. We succeeded in doing it. The state was very, very instrumental in helping us here. We at Northwell have our own group purchasing organization, so we were pretty well supplied. Today, we are in pretty good shape overall. You need a big inventory. For example, I'll give you just one example. On the N95 masks alone, in my health system today, we use 10,000 of them a day. So I need, we use 70,000 of them a week. So you have to have a large inventory, because if you are days away from running out, you're in trouble. We're not in that situation. The same with vents. We're in pretty good shape today with vents. We did have a problem overall in vents 2 to 3 weeks ago here at Northwell. We actually took other breathing machines called BiPAP machines, and we converted them to vents using building the pieces that you needed to make that conversion in our 3D printing shop. So we were able to expand the use of vents because we made those conversions. Similarly with swabs, we made our own in our 3D shop. We made our own swabs, so we don't have a problem with supply there. So right now we're in pretty good shape. I will just offer this caution that as we reopen over time, and we still have a lot of COVID patients in the hospital, you will still need to have an awful lot of PPE, because the practice going forward for a long period of time, not just in treating COVID patients, but probably in treating all patients, will be to use masks and gloves and gowns, etc. So the supply issue of PPE will be needed even just as much in the future as it was in the last 2-3 months.
Right, because as you move back to what's considered elective or non-essential, and all of it's elective and all of it's essential to a great extent, but as you move back to that, you're going to overuse PPE, at least compared to the old days or pre-this, just for a whole bunch of reasons. So the inventory needs going to be much higher.
Oh, sure, because, you know, the expectation is, and this is what we do, we've made this policy in our system some time back, that all staff dealing with all patients use PPE, COVID or non-COVID. Because a COVID patient who's non-COVID today can be COVID tomorrow.
Yes, and there's going to be assumptions, particularly until there's more word about the tests, the antibody tests, everything else. Essentially, you're almost going to be treating a whole lot of patients as COVID patients for now.
Right.
Another question for you. Both in healthcare and in the country's operations, meaning citizens day to day, is there a new normal? What will that look like? Will that be forever, or how is that going to look? What are your thoughts so far?
I think we will be all operating differently in various ways. It may be get modified over time, but we will all be operating differently until there is a vaccine. And we won't have a vaccine for at least a year, maybe a year and a half. So I don't think we will be getting back to normalcy as we define normal anytime soon. And I think we will never go back to the way we were before, because one of the things that this experience is going to teach us all is how to innovate and redo our businesses. Northwell, my organization, is going to look different in the future than it did before, and look different than it would have if this event had never occurred. We'll have more people working from home and less coming to the office. We'll be using technology, virtual care, and telemedicine more. We will be doing a lot more interdisciplinary work in handling this crisis, all disciplines work together. That's a benefit from all of this. I think social distancing will continue as we reopen now. And when we reopen, in our waiting rooms, where you would have a waiting room of 50 people all sitting side by side, our waiting rooms of the future will have people masked sitting 6 feet from one another. So whatever volume of people that we could put in a waiting room before will be dramatically reduced going forward. And that's a big bold planning issue. I think for all of us, I think it has given us a new perspective on life. It has got us to think a little bit differently about what's important. I think it has humbled us. I think that we will be appreciating things more for a long period of time. Today, if you want to go to a restaurant, you can't. 3 months ago, you could just go and go to a restaurant. You could go to your friends and have a party. You could socialize in the community. You could do all of those things. Today, you can't do that. And I don't think those will come back fully for a long period of time. So this is not about change with healthcare alone. This is basically change for all of us in how we think, in how we do, in how we act. And some of it, quite frankly, I think will be positive. I think we will be forced to do things and actually we'll want to do things a little differently than we did 3 months ago. And we may all be better off for it, despite the fact that we went through an adventure that was pretty horrific.
Let me ask you this question about horrific, Mike. In your career, any other public health crises that at any time in this you think back to and see any similarities? Or is this so different than anything you've ever seen before?
Yes, this is different than anything we've ever seen before for a lot of reasons. One is the duration of it. I mean, when you have a hurricane, it lasts for 4 or 5 days and you have a lot of destruction, but you get back to quasi-normal. You know, even 9/11 was horrific for a period of time. I mean, the emotional toll, of course, was long duration, but the actual issue itself was short-lived. The only one that I would equate to be have some similarities, but not to the extent of this, was the AIDS crisis that I worked through when I was in government, and we set up the AIDS Institute, etc. But it affected populations big time. It was scary for a lot of the public, but it didn't change the way everybody in the community had to live. Life went on relatively normal. There is nothing normal today. I'm looking out in a highway in front of my office, which is usually at this time of the day packed with cars. And since I have been talking to you, I've seen one car go by. This has changed everything in a way nothing else has done so in my career. And I doubt that anybody, and when I speak to the doctors, and by the way, I have walked through every ICU and every hospital, and when you're out there in the hospitals, in the ICUs, and you see what's going on, and you talk to physicians who've been in the middle of tough issues for their whole careers, they will universally tell you that they have never seen anything like this.
One final question, Mike. I know you've got this. I forget how many employees you have in the Northwell system, but I know a tremendous amount.
It's 73,000.
Is it any words or thoughts for those 73,000 people in their performance through this crisis?
Well, that's the extraordinary thing. I mean, we have observed humanity at its best. We have seen heroism, enormous courage. We have seen the celebrations of life and the sadness of death. We have seen people working in circumstances that were scary and fearful. We saw people in situations where they're putting their own lives in danger and their families, and they did it. The heroism was extraordinary. I don't think there are words to describe the nurses and the doctors and the respiratory therapists and the environmental workers that have been on the front lines. And I have been out there with them at every facility, as I said. What they have done demonstrates how important healthcare people are and how they go into battle. They don't run away from it. I'll give you one or two stories. I was in one of my ICUs a week or two ago, and I am with a nurse on the floor. He asked me to take a photograph, which I did. It was on the ICU. As I walked out of the unit, the supervisor told me that that person's mother had just died on the same floor that morning. Yet that person was at work continuing his shift.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable heroism and commitment and passion to what's important. And if there is a lesson here for the public, is that they should always recognize that healthcare workers are the ones that protect them, save them, and walk to the fire when the fire is raging the most. And the enormous respect you have to have for people on the front lines. And they I've had 2,000 employees get sick with the coronavirus. All of them came back to work. more committed than ever before. So it's an extraordinary compliment to the workforce in healthcare. And this is for every hospital, every entity. It's not just Northwell. It's for every hospital, every entity that's going through this, that these employees need the communities and the public's utmost respect, and also the recognition from the politicians for many of those others that sometimes criticize healthcare. I find out, by the way, a lot of the people have been traditionally complaining about hospitals and healthcare, including some other entities in the healthcare arena. Some of the payers and others, I don't see them today being on the front lines helping out that much. They're not in the middle, they're not on the front lines in the battle. They're on the sidelines, complaining. So I think it's something to keep in mind. And you don't really realize it, the extent of it, until you go into a situation like this. The other thing that's amazing is that the community in general has been very supportive. I mean, we have celebrations around our hospitals by the public, all voluntary, every evening, pretty much every evening around every one of our facilities. So the community has been very supportive, very respectful, and understand how important hospitals are as part of the fundamental essential safety net in each of our communities. And it's something that we should never allow to be forgotten. A new normal should be always respect your healthcare employees, because when you're in that circumstance, you will need them.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And in many communities, they're both a safety net to the top employer. They're very, very important to the complete fabric of our cities, our towns, our country. So, Mike, I can't thank you enough for taking the time in your incredibly busy schedule to join us today. It's always just inspiring to visit with you. So I appreciate it greatly.
Thank you very much. Thank you for everything you do. And let's look up. We will prevail. We will succeed, and we'll be better for it at the end.
Thank you, sir.